Good morning and a very warm welcome to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. Today, joining us, Reverend Rosemary will be sharing our lectionary readings and Father Fergal will be sharing a reflection along with Reverend Rosemary's reflection later on. Both reflections and the readings are actually from last week, as both had gone and sent them into me. However, as you all know, I was interviewing Pat and we were chatting about September being Suicide Awareness Month and the work of Living Links and how Living Links came to their aid. And so, as a result, this week I'm actually using the files that were sent to me by Reverend Rosemary and Father Fergal on the show today. You will be encouraged, you will be blessed by what both have to say, and indeed, you will be challenged. But more of that later. One of the things that really has been striking me of late is how it is that we have moved with modern day worship music and even the old hymns to focus on always being joyful and uplifting, and that we forget that a lot of the Psalms are based in lament, just as we are going to find out now when Charlize reads to us Psalm 79. This is where the whole nation of Israel are lamenting that the way that they're being treated by the nations around about them.
We're reading from Psalm 79. O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have reduced Jerusalem to rubble. They have left the dead bodies of your servants as food for the birds of the sky, the flesh of your own people for the animals of the wild. They have poured out blood like water all around Jerusalem, and there is no one to bury the dead. We are objects of contempt to our neighbors, of scorn and derision to those around us. How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? How long will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not acknowledge you, on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. For they have devoured Jacob and devastated his homeland. Do not hold against us the sins of past generations. May your mercy come quickly to meet us, for we are in desperate need. Help us, God, our Saviour, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive us our sins, for your name's sake. Why should the nation say, "Where is their God?" Before our eyes, make known among the nations that you avenge the outpoured blood of your servants. May the groans of the prisoners come before you. With your strong arm, preserve those condemned to die. Pay back into the laps of our neighbors 7 times the contempt they have hurled at you, Lord. Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will praise you forever from generation to generation. We will proclaim your praise.
When we look at the news and look at everything that is taking place around our world, we know that there are nations and they are in lament. We have nations and they are wondering where God is. But you know what? It's not only nations that may be wondering and asking that question. Maybe you as an individual are asking that question. The first hymn I would like to share with you today is one written by Horatius Bonner, and it goes, O love of God, how strong and true, eternal and yet ever new, uncomprehended and unbought, beyond all knowledge and all thought. We read thee best in him who came to bear for us the cross of shame, sent by the Father from on high, our life to live, our death to die. We read thy power to bless and save, e'en in the darkness of the grave. Still more in resurrection light, we read the fullness of thy might. O love of God, our shield and stay, through all the perils of our way, eternal love in thee we rest, forever safe, forever blessed. One of the interesting things about Horatius Bonner, even though he was a clergyman with the Church of Scotland, one of the interesting things is that he and his wife lost 6 little children. And so when we read these verses that he has written, doesn't it take on a much more poignant meaning and understanding? O love of God, our shield and stay, through all the perils of our way, eternal love in thee we rest, forever safe, forever blessed. When you look at the circumstances that you go through life, maybe you've lost a child, maybe you've lost a loved one, maybe you've lost a parent, maybe you are just going through the difficulties and woes that this life is bringing upon us, even in regard to the economics of the way things are happening at this present moment, and you are wondering how and what it is that you can find hope and joy in. The one thing that we can find joy in is the Lord. A comment underneath this hymn on the internet beautifully puts it like this: if there is something that we can rely upon in an ever-changing world, it is the love of God. It never changes. It has ever been and will ever be. We can place our faith in his love as a firm foundation of solid rock. And that love is ours, with no input from us other than to accept it. O love of God, how strong and true. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we have just been listening to a second hymn by Horatius Bonner, probably one of his more famous ones, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. As we've been sharing that from Psalm 79, it is a psalm of national lament, and we're considering the fact that the people of Israel as a nation were crying out to the Lord for justice. But maybe you're someone, and whatever you're going through, you're crying out to God, intervene in your life, to step into your situation, and praying that he will transform that situation. Later on, Reverend Rosemary and Father Fergal will be joining with us and sharing the reflections. But first, a thought from Joe, who is sharing with us from the life of Jehoshaphat. As a form of introduction, what he states is, life throws stuff at us. Often two or three things happen at once which can derail us. Jehoshaphat had three armies coming against him, and he had no idea what to do. The Lord came to his rescue and will yet do something that is marvellous in your eyes also. Here's Joe sharing with us and drawing inspiration from the life of Jehoshaphat. Thank you, Joe.
Hello. We live in interesting times. I draw inspiration from 2 Chronicles 20. I'm going to read only excerpts for the sake of time, but I'd certainly encourage everyone to read the whole chapter in detail. King Jehoshaphat had not one, but three armies advancing against him for battle. He was afraid, so he set his face to seek the Lord, and he said, "We are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Now, in the natural, the situation was an impossible one. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, and he said, "Listen, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the deliverance that the Lord will bring on your behalf. The Lord will be with you." You and I may never have to face three armies advancing against us, but almost certainly we will find ourselves up against obstacles that are too great for us to manage. Sometimes we will be faced with more than one major problem at once. Life often is overwhelming. I have faced problems in the past, any one of which I could have taken in my stride. But at one juncture, a bundle of stuff happened at once, which left me quite derailed and bitter. I'm being transparent with you here in the hope that you can see that I empathize with you if you have a struggle. I was like Jehoshaphat. While I wouldn't say I was afraid, I was certainly in a place of extreme uncertainty. I had to set my face to seek the Lord. I was powerless against these problems coming against me. I did not know what to do, but my eyes were on the Lord. In time, the Lord did perfect that which concerned me and began to fulfill his purposes in my life. I learned where my help comes from. This will happen for you also, so God bless you.
Thank you very much, Joe, for your thoughts taken from Jehoshaphat's experience. Now, Reverend Rosemary is going to read to us our New Testament reading from the writings of St. Paul to Timothy.
Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles.
Welcome back to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we have been looking at hymns with lament but confidence in God, where we've been looking at Psalm 79, where we've been listening to Joe speaking about having confidence in God, just as Jehoshaphat did, that even though things in the natural were impossible, yet God is the God of the impossible, bringing him victory in that situation over his difficulties and trials that were ahead of him, as he can do with you. In the next section, we will be joined by Reverend Rosemary and Father Fergal in sharing their reflections on the passages of Scripture that we've been listening to. And now, Reverend Rosemary is going to read to us from Jeremiah and chapter 8.
Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 18 to chapter 9. Verse 1. O my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their worthless foreign idols? The harvest is past. The summer has ended, and we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn, and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people.
When we consider the reading from Jeremiah, we see that the imagery is used of the sun and the harvest and that all is past, and still the people of Israel are not saved, because this is written from a viewpoint of being in exile in Babylon. Jeremiah wrote a book called Lamentations, and right in the middle of his lament for the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, he has those little words, "Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, my Saviour. There is no shadow of turning with thee." And that's where the hymn has come from, But also the second verse borrows heavily from the passage of scripture that we have just read. And so even though this is a great hymn of triumph, speaking about the wonders and the magnitude of how God is there for us in all circumstances, yet it is actually born out of the tragedy that had happened to Israel as an apostate nation who had turned their backs on God. Very often, many of the trials and tribulations that we face in our lives is because we're not in a right relationship with the God who created us. And so very often, our prayers, the cry of our hearts, can be found in the lament caused by the lack of a closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has promised to be with us, never to leave us nor forsake us. Now the point is that when we think about that, really think about that, God is with us and has promised never to leave us or forsake us. If I asked you this question, do you know the presence of God with you? How do you answer it? Because that goes and shows the condition that your soul is in. Think about it. Folks, after the break, as I've said, Reverend Rosemary and Father Fergal will be speaking with us. So that's it from me. And I just pray, as always, God's blessing upon you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, show you grace and turn his face towards you, and give you peace. And folks, be prepared to be blessed as Reverend Rosemary and Father Fergal share their reflections with us.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. In the salvation to tell. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange. In the light of his glory and grace, in the light of his glory and grace,
glory and grace, glory.
Welcome back to Heartlands here on Midlands 103. And now, folks, I'm going to leave you with Reverend Rosemary and Father Fergal sharing their reflections on the readings that we've been listening to today. Thank you, Reverend Rosemary, and thank you, Father Fergal.
Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what's this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Living in a compromised world. Psalm 79 is a national lament used as a prayer on days of fasting, and probably first written when the temple was desecrated, as it talks about in verse 1, in 587 BC. Like the psalmist, Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, feels deep sorrow for the nation as he predicts all that will happen to them. Verse 20, which says, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved, is possibly an old, well-known saying, and it implies that the situation is hopeless. There is no escape. They are ripe for punishment, as Amos puts it. As we continue to explore the wretched state of humanity in this month's readings, we may feel helpless. But Paul points his readers in the direction of the most powerful thing we can do: pray. Perhaps our times of intercession for national leaders on days other than Sundays are not as frequent as they might be. As we look at the state of the world these days, we might agree that now would be a time to start being more faithful and wide-ranging in our prayers. We're given pause for thought by today's parable about the dishonest steward, also known as the shrewd manager. And Jesus' remark about him and those like him, Jesus said, the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. The love of money is the root of all evil, writes Paul to Timothy. But money, when used wisely, can be a force for good. So what does Jesus mean when he says use it to gain friends? He's certainly not telling people to cheat their bosses. Surely he means for our money to be used for good. Prayer and generosity, two ways of living as Christ's disciples in a compromised world. Let's pray. Lord, please give me more of a heart for you and for your world. Amen.
Reflection for last Sunday's Gospel by Father Fergal Cummins. 25th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. Introduction. We are here for one reason only, to prepare ourselves as best as we can for eternal life in heaven. Heaven is where our hearts are fulfilled. In heaven, one stands before Jesus, our supreme judge, and in the presence of the saints who have been made perfect to Jesus. Our lives are all about us getting ready for heaven. That I did in my way is the highway straight to hell. After reading Paul Tigbin's book, Saints Who Saw Hell, you do not want to go to hell. The beautiful sacraments of confession and most holy Eucharist are the most glorious gifts that you can delight your souls with. Jesus in today's Holy Gospel focuses on investing our stewardship. St. Luke gives us the parable of the dishonest steward who seeks the favour of his master's creditors by reducing what they owe them. The master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. Prudence is the habit of doing the right thing well. To grow in prudence, you must be constantly reflecting, praying, and discerning and doing God's holy will. I am heartbroken when I hear of people die who have not gone to confession in years. They have wasted away and jeopardized their spiritual inheritance. If one is a slave to money, one becomes a slave to evil. We are to be slaves for God by being clever stewards. Jesus warns us in Matthew 10:16 that we are to be as shrewd as serpents, as simple as doves. We all must be shrewd, smooth and sensitive, smart and savvy to be effective disciples. Who or what is the master of your heart? Christ warns us that no one can be the slave of two masters. He will either hate the first and love the second, or treat the first with respect and the second with hatred. Jesus says that he cannot be the slave both of God and of money. Things creep into our hearts when we ignore God, when we ignore faith in Jesus Christ. Some desires can become addictions in our lives. We can become slaves to money, land, work, relationships, mad holidays, exercise, sports, social media, YouTube, love, careers. The list go on. When these things become only what we want in life, we are in serious trouble. Many of these things are good in and of themselves, but if we are not careful, they can pull us away from our loved ones. Who or what is good and wholesome for us in this life? In our seriously materialistic age and society, we must ask ourselves a very fundamental question. What is it in my life that has taken the place of God? How easily our hearts get corrupted. We have to safeguard our hearts for God, our only master. I want to be a slave for Christ, pure and simple, because I know what he promises me. All of us must take Jesus' promises seriously. I want to get to heaven. That's why I'm here. I want to have an increase in joy, inner peace, hope, compassion, and love. These come from God alone. Sin only builds up our egos and builds up a wall between us and God. Humility is essential to enter heaven. Basic humility is to acknowledge that God exists and that we are not in control of our lives. We all have a lot of work to do internally to be ready for heaven. I often recall the mighty quote from St. Ephrem the Syrian, that the purer we are, the more we receive. Many people are restless because they have stopped seeking the Lord. The loss of reality in our world is very serious and points to something drastically wrong. Some people desire things in this world only, forgetting what comes next, when we close our eyes for the last time in this world. God invites us to pilgrim home with him to heaven. St. Paul, in our second reading, says that there is only one God and one mediator between us and him, and that is Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself on a cross for you and me. Christ feeds us and frees us from all earthly attachments and addictions. Christ is the only one who can satisfy all our needs. Turn back to Jesus, who on the cross died for us, so that we may have the freedom to grow in the path of divine grace. At the end of the day, our hearts are made for God, nothing else. May Almighty God bless and protect you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Take care and God bless.